Hello and welcome to the Climate Justice and Rights of Future Generations podcast, a podcast series brought to you by alumni from the Human Rights and Democratization in Africa Master's Program at the Center for Human Rights. We discuss climate-related challenges but also solutions in Africa. Make sure you listen all the way through. Let's green it! Hi everyone, welcome to episode 2 of the first series of the Climate Justice and Rights of Future Generations in Africa podcast. The podcast series is an initiative of the HRDA Alumni Task Force on Climate Justice and Rights of Future Generations in Africa. Today we will be discussing climate change and children's rights in Africa. We will be hearing from Samrawit Getane, who is a Senior Child Rights Protection Officer at the Secretariat of the African Committee of Experts on the Rights and Welfare of the Child, and she's also a part-time PhD researcher at the University of the Western Cape, researching climate justice for African children.
Hello, Anastasia. Hello, Elzabeth.
We will be hearing from Elzabeth Boshoff, PhD fellow at the Norwegian Center for Human Rights, working on the relationship between human rights and environment. This podcast is hosted by myself, Anastasia Tebobionjenga, a human rights jurist and researcher working on climate justice, gender inequality, the right to food, and children's rights. In today's session, our presenters will be discussing how climate change disproportionately affects children in Africa and the interlinkages between multiple systemic inequalities affecting girls and boys in their diversity. We'll be hearing from them on African state responsibilities as duty bearers with regard to entering the whole range of children's rights in the context of a changing climate. As the first episode of this series clearly describes, climate change affects all populations in Africa, but the direct and indirect consequences of climate change disproportionately affect groups of people as a result of the exacerbation of already existing discriminations, marginalization, or human rights violations. This is the case, for instance, among other groups of indigenous peoples, women, displaced persons, persons living with disabilities, older persons, and youth, as well as children in the context of adverse consequences of climate change in Africa. Today's episode is focused on the impact of climate change on children, girls and boys in their diversity in Africa, the human rights violations that result from it, as well as state obligations. Samrawit, can you tell us a bit more about the disproportionate impact of climate change on children in Africa?
Yes, thank you, Anastasia, and thank you again for that introduction. Children are considered one of the most impacted groups by the negative impact of climate change due to their physical and cognitive levels of development. They bear the brunt of the impact of anthropogenic greenhouse gas emissions, while ironically being among the least responsible for it. Climate change can have a wide range of impacts on children's well-being. It adversely impacts their mental and physical health. It induces forced migration, which disrupts stable environments for growing up. It impacts food security and leads to child malnutrition and, in general, impairing access to food. It disrupts access to education in many ways, for example, where food security is disrupted and children are required to help produce food or to work to supply additional stream of income, which in turn may, in some cases, result in the economic exploitation of children. Climate disasters such as floods lead to loss of homes, livelihoods, and lives. Living in an environment with these stressors could also negatively impact on children's ability to play. Intersectional conditions can also lead to increase the burden on children in their diversity, such as children with disabilities, children living in poverty or single parent, or even child-headed households, or for children belonging to indigenous and rural communities that depend directly on land for their livelihoods. Girls are particularly impacted by the effects of climate change, especially in Africa, given the gender norms that affect their roles. For instance, collecting water and firewood, helping with household chores, as well as their agency and ability to adapt, for instance, when it comes to menstrual and reproductive health. Increase in cases of child marriage and sexual and gender-based violence have, for instance, been reported as a result of climate change effects such as floods and droughts. These cross-dimensional impacts earned climate change the label of threat multiplier, as it severely exacerbates almost all existing child protection challenges.
Thank you so much, Samrawit. Climate change poses serious health conditions and challenges to children. Elzabeth, could you tell us a little more about that?
Yes. Hi, Nastasia. Hi, Samri, and good morning to our listeners. So in Africa, the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, has projected that around 125 million children could be subjected to the consequences of climate change as early as 2030, including through displacement, water scarcity, and malnutrition, all of which impact on children's health. And it is estimated also that globally, 88% of the total burden of climate change-related diseases occur in children under the age of 5 years. As we know, the impacts of climate change on children's rights can either be immediate, so manifesting during childhood, or it can take the form of long-term damages that manifest much later, including in adulthood. Some of the immediate impacts of climate change include physical injuries caused by, for example, floods or heat waves, but also respiratory diseases and trauma that they can suffer from as a result of exposure to climate events. Extremely high temperatures that result in heat waves could also cause heat exhaustion, heat stroke, and in extreme cases, even permanent neurological damage and death. And these kind of extremely high temperatures are increasing in many areas of the continent as a result of climate change. The impact of heat waves on pregnant women and their fetuses is also particularly negative, including delayed brain development in unborn children, which then eventually affect their educational attainment and work outcomes later in life. Climate change also threatens access to clean and safe drinking water, and it also affects crop yields and the quality of food that is being produced. So it prejudices not only food production, but also food accessibility and food quality, which are essential elements of the right to food. And so the lack of access to quality and quantity of food results in malnutrition, which has both, again, short and long-term adverse impacts on children's health, their development, as well as their well-being. And malnutrition, in addition to being a challenge on its own, also exacerbates other diseases in children. And furthermore, climate change also affects the spread of vector-borne diseases, such as malaria, dengue fever, spread by mosquitoes. And children in Africa are more vulnerable to these diseases and are more likely to experience adverse health outcomes than the rest of the population.
Thank you so much, Elzabeth. Let's talk a little more about data from specific countries in order to get a better overview of the situation. Samrawit, would you have some examples to share with us?
Yes, sure, Nastasia. I have to start by saying that data on climate change, specifically on its impact on children in Africa, is quite scarce or hard to reach. We can still share some selected examples based on data from different countries that would at least give us a glimpse of the devastation that is currently being faced by children in Africa. I think one good place to start is the UNICEF's Child Climate Risk Index. According to this index, the global ranking levels of risk in 163 countries around the world, children in Central African Republic, Chad, Nigeria, Guinea-Bissau are most at risk for impacts of climate change. In fact, from the top 33 extremely high-risk countries in the world, 21 of them are in Africa, which is a very concerning figure. Hence, the compounded vulnerabilities of children in Africa due to their evolving physical and cognitive capacity, as well as owing to the climate-vulnerable socioeconomic realities that they live in, is registering a staggering damage to their lives, health, education, and well-being. For example, lack of sufficient drinking water resulted in a cholera epidemic in Niger in September 2021, resulting in child morbidity and mortality. Drought in the Horn of Africa and the Sahel region has resulted in severe acute malnutrition in 2.8 million children. Malnutrition, among others, increases the chances of children dying from waterborne diseases by 11%. Children living in drought-heat regions of Somalia and Ethiopia suffer from acute diarrhea and cholera, with 1.2 million under five children in drought-affected regions of Ethiopia treated for acute diarrhea in 2021 and 2022. Now we know that the science has proved that droughts in this region has become much more severe and much more frequent owing to the impact of climate change. The recent severe floods in Nigeria in 2022 resulted in the loss of lives, massive displacement, and high risk of waterborne diseases, drowning and malnutrition to approximately 2.5 million people, 60% of which are children. It is estimated that between 2011 and 2020, there have been between 12,000 to 19,000 heat-related deaths per year in Africa. Again, severe flooding in KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa in April 2022 resulted in the death of 57 children and affected 600 schools, impairing education. According to UNICEF, out of a total of 19.7 million child displacements due to floods throughout the world between the years of 2016 and 2021, Somalia, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Nigeria, and Sudan feature in top 10 countries in absolute numbers. Again, an additionally a total of 1.3 million child displacements took place due to droughts between 2017 and 2021, again with Somalia, Ethiopia, Angola, Burundi, Madagascar, and South Sudan featuring on the top 10 in absolute terms. And this really gives us a good glimpse of the devastation from different corners of the continent and the fact that African countries are always being the hardest hit by these devastations, and specifically children in Africa bearing the brunt.
Thank you so much for this very detailed presentation of this acute situation. So both of you have mentioned impacts or climate change impacts on human rights such as health, education, food security, menstrual hygiene, menstrual health, violence, reproductive health. How does this relate to children's rights recognition and realization by authorities at multiple levels on the continent?
Thank you. Yes, so the legal basis for the protection of children's rights on the African continent is the African Charter on the Rights and Welfare of the Child. It entered into force in 1999, and today only five African countries have not yet ratified it. That is Tunisia, South Sudan, Somalia, Saharawi, and Morocco. But conversely, this means that the other 50 African countries have signed up to the protection and the realization of these rights. Unlike the other African human rights instruments, like the African Charter on Human and People's Rights and the Protocol to the African Charter on the Rights of Women in Africa, also called the Maputo Protocol, the African Children's Charter does not provide explicitly for the right to a healthy and clean environment, which would be the first right that we might associate with climate change. But the African Children's Charter nevertheless does establish not only a range of rights, but also four principles that have to be taken into account in every decision affecting a child. These four principles are the best interest of the child, the principle of non-discrimination, the right to life, survival, and development, and the principle of participation. And these principles together show the interrelatedness and interdependence of children's rights and place a very wide obligation on state parties to take all possible positive measures towards the realization of the rights of the child. There are also specific rights in the African Children's Charter that are of particular relevance in the context of climate change. As noted before, many different rights of children can be affected by climate change, and the African Children's Charter makes provision, for example, for a right to survival and development in Article 5, which also includes a right to life. It provides for the right to education in Article 11, which includes the development of respect for the environment and for natural resources. It provides for a right to leisure and recreational activities in Article 12, the right to health and health services in Article 14, and the protection against child labor in Article 15. The African Children's Charter also makes specific provision for the protection of children in specific categories of vulnerability, including children with disabilities in Article 13, and child refugees, that is, children that are displaced beyond the borders of their own country, in Article 23. And so these rights taken together provide strong protection for African children against a range of the rights violations that may result from the impacts of climate change, as we've discussed before. The African Children's Rights Committee is the body that was established by the African Union to monitor and to ensure compliance by states with their child rights obligations. And the committee developed what is called a general comment, which gives guidance to the states, general comment number 5, focusing on state obligations in relation to the rights of children. And under general comment 5, an important provision regarding state obligations provides that the child's best interest include short-term, medium-term, and long-term best interests. And for this reason, state actions that imperil the enjoyment of the rights of future generations of children, for example, by allowing environmental degradation to take place or inappropriate exploitation of natural resources, are regarded as a violation of the best interest of the child standard. And while climate change is not specifically mentioned in this general comment, it can clearly be included under environmental degradation, which imperils the enjoyment of the rights of future generations.
Thank you so much, Elsa B. And I'm now turning to Samrawit to know if it would be possible for you to give us a little bit more detail on some of these rights that were mentioned by Elsa B. As they are materializing in African human rights instruments, such as the African Children's Rights Charter, which was mentioned previously.
Yes, so to zoom in on some of the rights that Elzebi has already mentioned, the African Children's Charter provides that every child has an inherent right to life and obliges state parties to ensure to the maximum extent possible the survival, protection, and development of the child. The Charter further provides for the rights of every child to enjoy the best attainable state of physical, mental, and spiritual health, and obliges state parties to reduce infant and child mortality rates and to ensure the provision of adequate nutrition and safe drinking water, as well as to combat diseases and malnutrition. As demonstrated before, the impacts of climate change violate the right to life, survival, and survival of children and their right to the highest sustainable standard of health in various ways, from heat waves to diseases exacerbated by slow onset events to sudden extreme weather events. The Charter provides for the right to education of every child, which among other things should be directed to the promotion and development of a child's mental and physical abilities to their fullest potential. Climate change threatens the right to education from various angles, again, as demonstrated below, such as demonstrated before in this discussion, such as limiting cognitive development of children due to exposure to heat waves in the early stages of life, including during pregnancy, or undernutrition caused by drought or due to loss of school infrastructure as a result of extreme weather events, among others. The wide range and multifaceted impacts of climate change further exacerbate rights such as parental care, protection from harmful practices, and protection from violence and exploitation. Loss of livelihoods due to the impacts of climate change is correlated with increase in child marriage and other harmful practices, increase in child labor, and overall increase in violence against children. Climate change-induced migration results in compounded child protection challenges, including challenge in access to basic services, loss of family environments, and vulnerability to exploitation and abuse. So as it's clear from this exposition, the various child rights concerns resulting from climate change are also interlinked with one another.
Thank you so much to both of you for this zooming in on particular children's rights that are affected. So the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child is also an important instrument that we can mention here, which protects child rights globally and which is, of course, applicable to African states who have ratified. The UN Committee on the Rights of the Child in 2023 adopted its general comment number 26, specifically looking at children's rights and the environment with a special focus on climate change. So this general comment highlights many of the rights we've been speaking about today, but it also, interestingly, also introduces the right to be heard, freedom of assembly, access to information, and the right to rest and play in the context of climate change. This document is also available in a child-friendly version, which is also an interesting and innovative feature. And importantly, children played a critical role in the development of this general comment, with more than 16,000 children having shared their views as part of the process. So this brings us to our final discussion point, which is on child participation. And I'm turning to Elsabi to ask you, how can we empower children using human rights-based approaches, especially the right to participation, information, and education?
Thank you, Nastasia. I think we should probably start from this idea of access to information and education, because without access to information, children are not able to take any further steps. So it would impose an important obligation on states to include climate change into school curricula and ensure that children are empowered with information about this topic. Another way in which children can be empowered to participate once they have the knowledge is, for example, through child parliaments, where children get the chance to debate important issues on the national agenda, which would include issues related to climate change, as well as children's political participation more generally. So children human rights defenders make an important contribution to protecting the environment. For example, the latest report of the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights Defenders focuses specifically on child and youth human rights defenders. And among the many ways in which child human rights defenders have engaged with climate change issues include litigation as a form of access to justice, and also accountability where states violate child rights through failing to take action on climate change. And in this regard, children have, for example, been at the forefront of climate litigation at the UN level, particularly before the UN Committee on the Rights of the Child. In the Saatchi case, this case concerned a petition filed by 16 children from 12 countries, including South Africa, against Argentina, Brazil, France, Germany, and Turkey in 2019. And the children claimed that these four countries, which are historical emitters, that means countries that have over time contributed a lot to greenhouse gas emissions, had failed to take the necessary preventive measures to protect and fulfill children's rights to life, to health, and to culture. The UN Children's Rights Committee was unfortunately unable to adjudicate on whether the state parties in this case had violated their obligations under the Convention on the Rights of the Child, because the applicants had failed to exhaust domestic remedies by not first bringing the cases before the national courts in these countries. So that is possibly one lesson to take from this case. However, there is also an ongoing case brought by youth before the European Court of Human Rights in Duarte Agostinho and others versus Portugal and 32 other Council of Europe states. This is a case that was brought in September 2020 against 33 Council of Europe member states by six youth campaigners concerning the greenhouse gas emissions, and which will have impacts on their living conditions and their health. And in this case, also, they did not exhaust domestic remedies by going to each of these 33 states at the national level, but the European Court accepted this case. But this case is currently still ongoing. So far, there is no litigation on climate change at the African regional level. And one possible explanation for this is that African states are generally not these kind of historic emitters that have a big contribution to causing climate change. But this doesn't mean that they cannot be held accountable under human rights for the failure to protect, for failure to put in place adaptation measures and other ways in which to ensure that people's human rights are not impacted in this way by the impacts of climate change. And Samravit and I wrote a paper in which we set out some of the strategies that human rights could be used before the African Children's Rights Committee to bring cases at that level. And then finally, moving on from litigation, Child participation is also crucial to complement their growing awareness and education about climate change and the resulting climate anxiety that many children come to face as a result of the feeling of disempowerment concerning the current and future impacts of climate change.
Thank you so much to the both of you for bringing our attention to not only the impacts of climate change on children's rights in their diversity, but also bringing the aspects around child participation, empowerment, resilience, and adaptation to climate change, and also the dimensions around the specific provisions in the African Children's Charter and other documents on the continent, which are related to climate change and human rights. Samrawit, would you like to share with us some call to action before we conclude?
Yes, thank you very much, Nastasia. I would like to also reiterate what Elzabi has said regarding litigation and bringing cases in front of courts, both at national but also at regional level, and to not assume that African states, just because they're contribution to greenhouse gas emissions is low, to not assume that they also don't have obligation under human rights and specifically children's rights law. They have obligations, and this could include taking serious measures in relation to adoption strategies for children and other measures that could be taken. Having said that, I would also like to point that there is a working group on children's rights and climate change under the African Committee of Experts on the Rights and Welfare of the Child. And this working group has a wide mandate to engage on this topic. So for all stakeholders, civil societies, individuals, children who are engaged with the topic of climate justice for African children, it would be really good to engage with this working group and its mechanism. It has the mandate to set standards, to receive communications from CSOs, individuals, children, and others, and to call upon state parties to the African Children's Charter to take action on key issues. Additionally, something maybe to look forward to in the near future is that the committee will soon release a study that has conducted a continental study on children's rights and climate change before the end of the year. The recommendations contained therein can be an evidence-based guidance for various stakeholders working on this topic. And in general, I would just like to thank you, Nastasia and Elzabi, for this conversation. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Samrawit, and thank you, Elzabi. This discussion has proved the disproportionate and intersectional impacts of climate change on boys and girls in their diversity on the African continent, as well as the need to enhance accountability of states and multilateral authorities in realizing their fundamental rights. It has also demonstrated the role of authorities in enabling child participation and engagement on these issues, including at policy, research, and budgeting levels. It has also proved the need to finance Africa-based, children-led research so their realities turn into policies and their calls turn into actual state actions. Thank you for listening. This was episode 2 of the first series of the Climate Justice and Rights of Future Generations in Africa podcast, initiated by the HRDA Alumni Task Force on Climate Justice. Stay tuned for the next episode. You don't want to miss it.
This was a podcast episode brought to you by the Human Rights and Democratization in Africa Alumni Task Force on Climate Justice and Rights of Future Generations in Africa. We take this opportunity to acknowledge the financial support of the European Union through the Global Compass for Human Rights. Have you enjoyed it? You'd like to share your green story? You have an opinion to give? Reach out to us, follow us on the HRDA Alumni Facebook page and Twitter account, and share our podcast episodes. Let's work towards a sustainable future for all.